This meeting is private, bearing false witness, misrepresentation, and posting inflammatory rhetoric in public forums is forbidden and shall be addressed in the appropriate matter. To eliminate all conflicts and false allegations, is there anyone in attendance at today's meeting that is a member or agent of any law enforcement agency or public agency of the federal, state, county, city, or township agency present? Is there any response from citizens for the first time? Not hearing any. This meeting is private, bearing false witness, misrepresentation, and posting inflammatory rhetoric in public forums is forbidden and shall be addressed in appropriate matter. To eliminate all conflicts and false allegations, is there anyone in attendance at today's meeting that is a member or agent of any law enforcement agency or public agency of the federal, state, county, or city or township agencies present? Is there any response from citizens for the second time? This meeting is private, bearing false witness, misrepresentation, and posting inflammatory rhetoric in public forums is forbidden and shall be addressed in the appropriate matter. To eliminate all conflicts and false allegations, is there anyone in attendance at today's meeting that is a member or agent of any law enforcement agency or public agency of the federal, state, county, city, or township agencies present? Is there any response from citizens for the third time? Not hearing any. Anyone who is here under false pretense, anyone who is working for any foreign government, including the territory of the United States or the municipal of the United States, anyone who is being paid or coerced to be here must fully disclose their presence and purpose now or leave the premises or conference call. If they subsequently show up as federal witnesses, they are discredited or for failure to disclose. This is the Union State meeting on May the 23rd at 6 o'clock. Okay. We were all discussing the law, bills, whatever. I'm going to show my screen here. I bought them on Amazon. I know if you guys, can you see my screen?
Yes.
Okay, these are the two books. Let me try to blow it up here. Oops. So you can get a better look. Those are the law books that we're going to use in our courts. And Aaron, he got a PDF of them. We can probably get you that PDF. You want that, or you can buy these books. If I go to buy again, like on this one, you'll see it's $24.95. That's how much the books are. So those are the ones we use. We don't use the Black's Dictionary, Law Dictionary, because that's the de facto, you know, law. We don't go by that law. That's their made-up law. So these are the books. There's Volume 1 and a Volume 2. And if I go back, you'll see here there's two of them. It's Volume 1 and Volume 2. I think the Volume 2 was more than the other one. Let me look. No, same price. They're both same price. So anyway, when we get our courts going, whatever, that's the law that we're going to be using. We're using American common law, and there is probably about six different common laws, so you got to make sure it is American common law. And the wording and the words you use and how you spell them make a big difference on jurisdiction, where you're at. I'll give you an example. It's like if you spell the word people and it's all lowercase, that means people on the soil. If you capitalize the P in people, that's in the land. So things like that make a difference on how you're spelling and how you're wording things. And, you know, Jessica was talking to everybody before the meeting here about a lot of this stuff. And, you know, our documents and everything that we do, we got to be careful on how we're wording it and how we spell things out and how we say it, because it does make a difference. Talking about the law and whatever, let's go straight into the election stuff. Robert sent out an email, but again, he used the wrong email address to send it out, and that email address is having issues, and nobody got or a lot of people did not get their election ballot for the 22nd, and so we're going to have to reschedule that for another day, the actual voting. because that wasn't totally public where everybody got the actual ballot. So again, the email that should be used to send out is elections@thenevadaunionstategov.land. If you're using the Nevada Assembly gov.land, that one does not work right, and you may or may not get emails out through it. So, Robert, you want to say anything about what went on at the elections?
No, because the email is working, and then the last two reminders I sent didn't go through, and I didn't know until the last minute. And then I talked to you before saying to use that email until this was done, and then you could disable it. So I don't know what happened.
We can use it for emails coming in, but the going out part, that email server for some reason is having issues. So we can't send emails through that server. So that's not something we can do right now, even though because everybody knows or knew that one, and if they send an email to it, it will receive it. It just has issues sending them out. Like, I never got the email, and I know Jessica didn't get an email. There's a few other people that we didn't get the ballots.
It was just the two reminders that no one got, but the previous emails prior to that, everyone got.
Okay. Well, I'm thinking we got to get a little bit different organized here and redo that, because, like I said, there's several people that I got emails from and texts and whatever saying they didn't get it. So we need to make sure everybody has a chance to vote and they know where the vote's going to be and all that. So anyway, everybody, what do you think about how we handle the election and the voting and what we should do at this point? Since the 22nd's already gone, and didn't you say, Robert, only like two people voted?
It was like four ballots, I believe. It was, minimal, but...
Mm-hmm. And I looked through that email server, whatever. Looks like you sent out the email on Thursday, is what it looks like.
Yeah, so I did one the week prior and then the day before, the two reminders.
Okay. Well, I don't remember seeing them, the emails. So we need to actually start using the other email just to make sure it gets out. Does everybody want what happened stands, or do we want to redo this? Any people talking up now?
I redo it, Rocky.
I agree.
Because I never got anything.
Yeah, I concur. Redo it.
I didn't receive anything either.
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds like we need to redo it. When do we want to do what date do we want to pick?
Maybe our next in-person meeting. Don't we have one coming up?
On the 30th.
Okay, so maybe that's when we should do it.
Again, there's going to be people that can't show up at the meeting, so not at the meeting. I mean, I guess we could do take votes at the meeting, but also have them mailed in. But what I'll do is when I send out the email for the next meeting, if this is okay with everybody, I will also send the ballot with that email and saying it has to be done in on that Saturday.
Okay.
Does that sound okay for everybody?
Yeah, that sounds good.
That works.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Okay, now I can. Just about everybody gets my email, so I think everybody will get it and we'll be able to do it. And then if you want to do your ballot in person, then you can bring it to the meeting with you and we can take it there, if that's okay.
great idea.
Okay. So the voting is going to be the one on the 22nd is being voided, and we're going to do it on the 30th is going to be the voting date for everybody. I will send out an email. Should I send it out Friday night or Saturday morning like I normally do?
Saturday morning's fine.
I think, Rocky, if it's not too much trouble, send it out Friday night and Saturday morning.
I can do that.
I would imagine that you might get a few more people receiving it or being able to make themselves available.
Okay. Everybody agree with that? Friday night and Saturday morning?
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what I'll do. Friday night, I will send out the ballot. I need to make sure I have a good copy of it, and then I'll send it out Friday night with the agenda and the meeting on Saturday, in-person meeting with the address and all that. It's the library on Eastern and Windmill. It is where the meeting is, the next one. So let me see if I can, let me look that up real quick.
Rocky?
Yeah.
Can you make sure that and my friend is, he's a new member. Got him to change his status, correct his status. Matthew Barber. He's with Las Vegas Paving, one of their main foremen. Can you make sure, double check that his email is in your privy, in your group, because I want him to start being able to come to our meetings and what have you. He's a really great guy, and now he's one of us. So I'll get with you after to make sure that I can verify what his email is, and just make sure I want him to be able to be plugged into you and your infinite wisdom. I yield.
Okay. Barbos? Is his name Caesar or something in Barbos?
No.
Okay. You'll have to give me
a Barber. Barber's last name, Matthew Barber. But I want to double check what his
email is.
Yeah, his preferred email.
Okay.
He just went through with Aaron and everything, so he's 100%.
Well, Aaron sent me like about five or six of them that I've been adding on this. On the email list.
Awesome. So, and yeah, just two guys just for my job site alone. Michael is, remember he came to your in-person meeting at the Thai restaurant, him and his wife.
Uh-huh.
Great people too. So we're growing, folks. I'll get with you later, Rocky, on it. Thank you so much. I yield.
Okay. Me. I think this is the one here. Let's share my screen again. You guys see that?
Yes. Yes, I do.
This is the library that we're going to be going to next on the 30th from 3 to 5:30.
That's awesome. Thank you for doing that, Rock.
You're welcome. The next thing I want to talk about is, did you guys have a chance to watch the video of PKTF on the last resurgence video she did?
Yes, it was excellent.
You noticed that there was a lot of stuff about Nevada in there. I've been working really close with Luis on a lot of stuff. One of the things that she wanted us to do for the PKTF, their June newsletter, she wanted us to do a letter or an article in that deal. And I think I put it out on the meetings. Let me go look here. Of what I started to do. No, it doesn't look like I did. I'm going to show you. We're going to go over that because I need to get at least two or three people to put in their thoughts about how the Nevada Union State has been going and, you know, what we've been doing to actually build it. And see if I don't see it here. Hang on here. I want to actually read it to you. It, right now it's kind of short. Got a few pictures in it. Blow it up here. This is one of the pictures was at the Thai restaurant. I'm just kind of showing the people in it. And this is another one. This is at a library that we were at. This right here discusses how our courtrooms were laid out. Maybe I won't read this. It's pretty long. I'll put it out in the deal so you guys can read it. And if you guys want to make some changes, whatever, I need it back like really soon here, like within the next couple days. So if you guys can go through it, there's another picture in it. Actually, let's just go over it. That way we can discuss it. Says the people in Clark County started about 4 years ago questioning the process of building our state and our county assemblies. As you may know, building a home without a good foundation does not work. We came to the conclusion that for our states to be strong, we need the counties to support the building process. As you know, when we bring the man and or the woman back to the land jurisdiction, we are also bringing them to the soil jurisdiction too. So what we have came up with is to let's build the counties and the state at the same time. Let us explain the reasoning behind this process on building the counties. As you may know or not, we start with the people in our General Assembly. The first pillar and the people who live in it, the towns, and all of the people in those towns come together and build their counties they live in. This is when it started to snowball, and when the people of those counties came together and they built their state assembly too, this is the foundation we believe the process should be, because when we are working together as brothers and sisters and getting to know each other and with a strong group of people to take on whatever comes to the assembly. As you know, every assembly faces many challenges, and if we do not fix the challenges between us, we will not be able to face the world in our counties or state assemblies. The end goal is to have our state up and running with the backing of all of the counties in our state. This is where the union state comes to light, because all of the counties from the union state, so with where the people in Clark County came to realize is that that is the same as you will all, I need to reword this, will come to the, it's to us all working together to build the counties and at the same time make your state even stronger. Start with working out with the goals that are in your state and what all of the people want in your counties and state to look like. as we did here in Nevada, as we all realized that we all had the same goals. We just were not working together to do it. Everyone needs to come back to the soil and be real with themselves. Work together to support each other. Get to know each other. Because we all come from the same Creator, and He gives us all we need to know how to stand together as one. And I got some pictures there. And it says, standing together is the only way to get all of the work done. Craig, our original guide to the process, drilled into every one of us in Nevada, we need to come together as one. And when we did, things just started to work and come together for Nevada. That made us all stronger as we realized no one can break us apart. That is why we are all standing together today. Now let's get into how we went along to build our counties and stay together. We took all of the information from Anna and broke it down into what we can do as a group today. And started to building process of creating the government we all wanted. We all wanted to be free from the current government and their processes to not let us be free. So we started with the strongest part of our government is a General Assembly. We all have a starting point and know what is needed to build the pillars to make our government strong. We need a sheriff in the counties, as the sheriff is our power to protect us. If we all stand together between the office of the sheriff, we need all of the people to stand in for our juries. We started getting people to sign an agreement to stand in our jury. If we need so, we can get a court of people ready to serve in our courts. Then we looked at what else do we need to build this pillar. We needed court clerks, justices of the peace, bondsmen, ombudsman, and a coroner. We came up with this chart of our courtroom, and if you see that we stood and the people needed to complete this process. Says we all went to work to complete this project and get the jury assembly building. It made things a lot easier when we know what it is that we are trying to get done, and we were all together doing that it takes to make it happen. As you can see, our courtroom does not look anything like the current courtrooms. Says the reason why is we were going through the process and we realized the jury is the ones that run the courtroom. That is why they are center and in the front of everything. Says you will realize that the justice of the peace is off to the side. And if you'll look, the justice is off over here and the jury's in the middle in the front. Is off to the side. The symbol is the Justice of Peace does not have the power in the courtroom, but he is a key player in the process. Once we got the people in these positions, we started on the next pillar. We needed a militia, which, again, the people in our counties and state, so we organized the militia by getting someone that is good in bringing people together for disasters and protection of our counties and state resources and people. With all that was said, Nevada hopes that every county and state comes together as one to build our state. If you notice not once did we ever say anything about a coordinator in the process of building our counties or our state, it all has to do with the people, not the coordinator. The coordinator is just there to help us get the information we need to build the assembly, correctly, so not one man or woman in the state gets harmed in any way. Craig was one, was the man for us in Clark County to bring us all together and to get the information we needed. Nevada's words to you all are to come together as one and start working together. That's what I have so far that I wrote. It needs cleaned up. It needs, reworded. Like my grammar and my spelling and a lot of stuff is not 100% all the time. And I realize that, and that's why I rely on all of you guys to help. And this is the article I would like to put into PKTF, and I'd like you guys to start discussing or tell me your thoughts on what I wrote or what should be in here or not be in here. We need also people's own opinions of what you think about your assembly and your union state and how we did things. So I'm going to yield at that point. I want you guys to discuss this and let me know what you think. So go ahead.
I think it's an amazing template, brother, for us to work on. We'll figure it out and refine it and but it's a great start. I think it's a great explanation of what we're all about, what we're trying to accomplish. I yield.
Thank you, Keith. Anybody else?
I second that. It's a great template, great starting point, and I'm just looking forward to how it all comes together.
Yeah, remember, all the states in the United States are going to see this, and they're going to read it, and it has to represent who we are. And I try to do my best to create, a starting template. But again, like I said, I need help. And if you guys have any words or things you want to put in it or change it or, please give them to me so we can get it fine. Because they want it before the 30th. They want this document. So if we can, in the next few days, people help, I will actually put it in the downloads for you guys to download it. If you want to make changes to it, whatever, and get it back to me, that would be great. If you want to add your comments to it, that would be good, because that's exactly... Let me go to the email that I got from PKTF. I'll tell you what they said. What she said, anyway. Okay. What she said to me, Louise, because she's the one that's driving this deal, says, also I have another request. I would like to include two emails. Oh, no, this is something else. Hang on. That was with what happened in the resurgent thing she put out. Okay. The BKTF is publishing the summer edition of our newspaper. In mid-June, we would like to ask if you would do an article for the newspaper about the work you have been doing to organize the Nevada Union State Assembly. We would need about 1,100 words article with about 3 to 4 pictures of your gatherings. We would like you to include some quotes from the people on the Nevada who are working on the assembly with you. So that's why I'm asking if you guys, some of you can give me some quotes. I would appreciate it. We can add to this article, but it's going out mid-June, but she told me she wanted it by the 30th so that they can edit it and all that before they can get it out. Oops. Um, And it doesn't say on this one, but we had a discussion on it. And then after this article gets done, whatever, the other thing, if you guys all know, that I'm working with Luis, we're actually creating the How to Build a County Assembly handbook. Right now we have How to Build an Assembly handbook that Terry and Anna and them created, but Anna gave me the responsibility with Luis to actually create the one for the counties. So I think on Tuesday, me and Luis is going to have a Zoom meeting together that we're going to go over the format and how we're going to build that document too. And all of this is good stuff for Nevada, because basically it shows that we know what we're doing, and we are actually doing the right processes, and they're recognizing it. And all of you guys, you know, coming in and helping out is what makes that process happen. It's all you guys that are doing this. It's not, you know, it's the reason why I didn't bring, the only time I brought up the coordinator is, you know, the coordinator is here to actually get the meetings, get the information you guys need to help build assembly, to get the, you know, the committees going, get things moving, you know what I'm saying? And so anyway, but I need the help. I need help from you guys to actually do this. And again, it will help us also to, you know, make us stronger in what we're doing, right?
You know I'll help, bro.
Yeah, I do. I appreciate you, Keith. I know Keith and Tamar both has helped me a lot on spelling and doing a lot of stuff that, you know, that we need into the, you know, a lot of the documents I do, whatever, because, again, I'm, you know, the wording things and coming up with stuff is just not my forte. It's not what I do.
We have all the parts of the body in place, brother. We all need each other. So we all are working together, and that's the way we're going to keep it. It's going to get nothing but better. So you're a spearhead, brother, and you're the tip of the spear. And your, you know, initiatives on things are amazing. And we all love you, and we're going to support you all we can. So the more people that actually help break off something else and help with it, the better we're going to be. So we'll take care of each other, and I think it's a great effort, my brother. And we'll join in to help you with it. I yield.
Thank you, Keith. Anybody else want to comment? Nobody has any comments about where this is going. This, to me, this is an honor for Nevada to be picked to actually do these things. And I urge everybody to watch Luisa's video. She talks a lot about us and through the whole video. That's her last resurgence. There was actually, that was part 7. I think there was 7 or 8 parts. I don't remember now. That was her last one for that, and now she's moving on to helping me actually build the assembly handbook, or the guidebook is what she wanted to call it. So that would be good, because it'll actually help us too in building our assembly, you know, knowing more, because I can tell you, Luis is really bright. She's really smart on all of the jurisdictions and, you know, who's in what jurisdiction and who's doing what. And through a lot of her reading, through a lot of the articles and stuff, what she found out is that she has an issue, just like I've had an issue and we've had an issue as Nevada, that the counties, you know, the people are the strongest part of our state. And then the people which builds the counties, which is our next strongest part of our state. And then the union state, which she goes into the video, and what she says is the union state is the one that's going to get all the funding and is going to fund all the counties and the state. So that is where the power lies, is in all the counties, because the counties have to work together to, you know, organize how our state is going to be you know, our resources and everything done. Because, like, some of the things I used to tell you guys is, like, you want a road that goes from one county to another, you know, like Nye County to Clark County. Then the Union State gets involved, and we do a budget, and we do a draft of what we want to get done, both counties. And we work together in the Union State and figure out what kind of budget we can do with that, and, you know, is it possible, whatever. And then the Union State will then fund that, right? If it gets between where it's going to go, say, like, from Clark County to Arizona, then that's the counties, again, will get together, come up with our part of Nevada and what we're willing to do, and then it's up to the state, as we send our electors, you know, our delegates, which is true from every county, to the state, which then works on working with, say, Arizona to get that road or whatever done through there. Even if there was a disaster that happened in between two states, well, our state, you know, we got to get our militia involved. We got it. PKTF will be involved, you know, because it's a disaster. And then our counties would get involved because we're the ones that are going to be funding it, right? So we all have to work together, and we have to be strong at what we're doing. And even if we, once we get our courts up and we get our government up and running, you know, we have to be strong together even to work against the de facto. So it's all of us people that actually runs this state. It's not the state of the union. It's not the union state. It's not really the counties. It's the people. But it's the people that form each one of those other, you know, junctions together. You know, it's like the people form their towns. The towns then form their counties. And the counties form their, you know, their union state, and then, which is all the counties together. And then that union state then forms your state. So we have to work on that together. But for right now, we got to work on the people in our counties. And I mean not just Clark County. I mean all the counties. That's what this meeting's about, the union state. Is I'm hoping to get sheriffs in every county, we need at least two people in every counties to say that all of our counties are standing, and that means that our union state would be standing at that point too. So right now our union state is not standing until we can get at least two people in every county. So does everybody understand the process and what we're trying to do here? Okay, no feedback. but again, I mean, you guys, we got to, you know, get everybody guts to get involved. And this next thing with our elections is one of our next steps, you know, to get our actually county and our state physically up and running, because we need that court. You know, it's one of the things, if you listen to Louisa's video, she even states without the court, the courts in each county, the state doesn't have a court. You know, it's the General Assembly is everybody in the state, but it's the counties, the courts in every counties that actually step up and create those state courts. You know, it's like if we do a grand jury or the state needs to litigate something with another state or anything international, they're going to use the courts that we build in all the general, you know, assembly people, all the juries, you know, from everybody in the state are the ones that are going to, you know, try those cases. So that's why we have to create a foundation is my whole point. And, you know, Craig was the one that actually, me and Craig had a lot of talks about this on how we got to get this done and how to make it strong so that we don't fall. You know, and I believe he was right, and the way that we're doing it, that's the reason for this letter, and that was the reason I added him in it, because he is our foundation. He is the man that actually stood up and got all the information for us and showed us the way. And we all have to recognize that. So, anybody else want to say anything, or about this process and where we're going?
I think we're moving. Okay, sorry.
Sorry, Keith.
Go ahead.
No, sweetie, I want you to talk. Go for it.
Oh, thank you. No, I just want to say thank you, Rocky, for that. It's very meaningful, and what you're doing is very meaningful as well. And I really like that template as well that you did. And I'm offering my help, too. I can help with spelling and all that stuff, too, if you like. But
yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Jennifer. Really appreciate it. If you and Michelle both could actually throw in some, like your comments or quotes or whatever would be great.
Okay.
Because you two were at the founding of it, you know, along with Keith and a few of us. I mean, most of us here has been here from the whole time. And the many quotes as we can get, because it'll show how strong we are as a state, you know, saying it's just the people here. And I appreciate it. Anybody else?
Sounds good. Thank you.
You're welcome. Keith?
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, this is Fitu. I just wanted to ask the status regarding the ex parte militant.
That will happen after we do our elections. What's going to happen, this is the process that we got to go through. First, we have to have a good election where everybody gets the vote. And we're going to do that now on the 30th. And then once that happens, then we have a 30-day of posting who won those elections. Once that does, then I will resend out the ex parte militant to everybody that Craig actually sent it to in the first place. So I have that, the original one. I will modify it. We will actually send it out again. And once we do that, because we've had all of our public stuff done, they will recognize us, or they should recognize us. I don't say they will, but we're hoping they will. And the way Anna's talking, that within the next 90 days or so, they're going to expect all of the assemblies to stand up and start running their courts and stuff. So that's why we got to get this done, and we got to understand what it is that we're doing. Does that answer it? Peter, you're
right. Somewhat, to a point, I guess, until after the election is done. So what was the results when Craig sent it out?
Well, because, again, this is, even Lisa said this too, is because we didn't have a public election at the time, then they don't recognize us. Because if you go through the laws of the ex parte militant and whatever, everything has to be in the public. You have to do public elections and everything to prove your government. And without doing that, they won't recognize you. It's like Lisa said, when they sent out all their documents, they got majority of them back when they didn't do their public elections. She said once they did their public elections and they posted everything in the public, they didn't get any of those letters back. And now they're starting to talk to her, you know, in Ohio, to talk to the Ohio people, because now they know they are the government there, and we have to do the same thing. So us doing the ex parte militant the way we did it wasn't completed 100% the way we should have done it, but we didn't know that back then. And now we do know. We got to do it, correct it and do it right. And that's what I'm trying to do.
One more question, Rocky. Was that based on the statutory laws, or what regulations was that fall under?
The ex parte militant? It's under the federal laws. They're UCC codes, or UC, whatever you call them, codes. The ex parte militant is basically, if you read what it's all about, it's about a government standing up and letting everybody know to recognize them as a standing government, right? And the way that the law is, this law has been around for hundreds of years, a couple hundred years, that when we stand up and have done what we're supposed to do, and we send out the ex parte militant, then they're supposed to recognize us, and if they don't, then they basically we can go after them. And the Army and everybody else will then protect us on it because we have done what we're supposed to do. And because we're on the land and soil, we are the strongest government, which means they have to listen to us first, right? And it states it all in Ex Parte Militae.
Understand. One more thing. Since we did our 928 package, do we still have to submit that Ex Parte Militae?
Yes.
Just curious. Based on their statutory laws and regulation, not laws, regulations, according to ANA, do we still have to go through that route now that we expatriate ourselves?
Is
there a way that for us to enter into their system in order for them to recognize us?
Okay. You're talking about we do our 928s. That is just putting us back on the land. That's not saying that we as an individual are a government, right? All of us together is the government, and that's what the Ex Parte Militae is. So it means you have to... To be recognized, you have to have a court, you have to have a sheriff, you have to have a coroner. There's certain things that you have to have to run a government. And that Ex Parte Militae is proving that point that you do have all that.
Mm.
Okay. So it's not only, and it has to be of the people that are in that government, right? And that's why we did our 928s, and that's why only the people that's done their 928s or their 1779s can be part of that government, right? Because that's who we are. So without us doing that first part, we can't do the second part, right? You know, it's if you look at it on the de facto side, you know, because we have a de facto government right now that we're paying for whatever. And again, they have their police force, they have their courts, they have everything they need, and they filed a long time ago their Ex Parte Militae to take over because there wasn't anybody else in charge, I guess you want to say, or somebody there to actually do those services for the people. We have to prove that we can do those services too so that we can take it back. Right? Because we haven't done it in 200 years. Stood up and had our own courts and our own sheriffs and our own everything, you know, that we need to run a government. Any more, P2?
Well, it's a wide and it's a long discussion there, but maybe another time, Rocky. Thank you.
We all like to hear your opinions on it because, again, this is what we're working forward to is to actually be the government, right?
Right. My understanding, based on all the... Anna just put out another article that we don't have to deal with the 80 million statutory regulations that they put out a while back, you know, a long time ago.
Which is true.
So my thought on this, the whole thing, is that their requirement, or is it that we have? Isn't there another way for us to enter into the de facto to be recognized?
There's nothing you're going to do to get into their system to take them over. I mean, it's. They're not going to recognize us for anything. And they really don't have to.
Right.
So we have to be the government and force them to go by our laws, right?
Right. So,
which is going to be the first thing is getting these elections. I think, anyway, if I can interject, because I hear where you're coming from, Fitu, and I totally agree with you, and but I think there's got to be a process, and what we're trying to do, go through the process that we know should work, and then the finances are going to be the actual power boost behind it all, because they're not going to listen to us. we're just going to be like an irritating gnat, even if we go through all of this process, until the finances come in, because then we can finance our own buildings, our own offices, our own, and then support and start being able to enforce our common law. So we have to see, it seems like we're going to have to go through what Rocky's, you know, initiating, which I know you appreciate and love him for, go through this process. And then my question was going to be, I think it was Tony, the video that Tony is his name. I forget his name, but the brother that was talking about that they're actually, the finances are being released in Guyana, and towards the end of the month, in theory, there's supposed to be 38 other countries that are actually transferring and creating, I hate to use this word, but creating actual value from the AFDs, from our money, that they're actually using it and producing products. People are actually getting value from those digital currencies that we have in our global family. They're actually getting goods going, and that they couldn't do the whole system because it would freeze the system, it would shock the system. So do you have any more, if I may, just asking and interjecting this as well, about did you hear anything more about the 38 countries, and there's actually places where they're actually getting value from our AFD accounts? I yield. Thank you, Fitu. Love you.
No, go ahead, Rocky.
From what Keith was saying, whatever, actually Africa is up and running. And they're getting more and more of their counties involved, and they are actually using the FDs. There is people from here in the United States who actually used their AFDs and bought stuff from Africa and got it mailed to them. So it is working. The money is there, and the value is there. But again, they're doing Africa first. The European countries will be next, and then we'll be third, the United States. That process is supposed to be moving along pretty fast, and that's the reason why you see your prosperity card on your account, because that's how we're going to use the money. Now, one of the things that people didn't realize, but once it is open where we can use it, it would be for only small amounts, meaning like paying all your utilities, paying your house payments, paying stuff like that, but not actually buying a house, okay? That'll be the next phase in the whole thing. So they're going through steps, and like what Keith was saying is if they just open it up to the world, it would pretty much crash the system because they're not ready for it, right? Once they get people using it in different areas and start putting more and more people online, and they're fixing all of the bottlenecks and stuff, you know, to keep it running, right, then that will happen. And then it will eventually get to us. But, again, like Keith is saying, once we go through all this process of building our courts, doing our exporte milliken, everybody knows without money, people are not going to listen to you. We may get some... We'll get some things, you know, we'll be able to help people, like if they go to court over tickets and that kind of stuff, and they will most likely listen to those ones because we'll have standing at that point. Right now, we don't have standing to be able to help in that area, and that's first part that we got to get going. And then once we get the money, then things will actually start moving, because then we can hire people, we can hire, you know, deputies, we can hire other people to help enforce our laws, right? Go ahead, P2.
I understand. Because I also contacted some folks in Africa, and they haven't gotten their funds yet. I emailed them last week in regards to purchasing a car, but they haven't utilize their AFD yet. So I yield. That's all.
Yeah. Well, Anna said, I think there's 8 different counties or something in Africa. They may not be one of them yet. You know what I'm saying? That has got full funding. again, that will probably happen here soon. I would just keep in contact with them and see if when they actually do get it. But I do know, in one of the coordinator calls, there was a couple that actually bought stuff from Africa and got it shipped to them using their FDs. So it is somewhat working. You know what I'm saying? It's maybe not 100%, but at least it's a start, you know. Anybody else?
This is Rocky, this is Brian Borkhardt. I have a clarification question, because my understanding of this whole thing is that even though this fraudulent de facto government has been in place since 1780 or so,
81.
Let's say just 81, hypothetically, mm-hmm. that it never actually was the real government, and the only reason, and so the actual true laws, the common law, has backed us since that time, but they deceitfully, criminally, fraudulently took it over, basically the same kind of phenomena like it happened in 1912 with the Federal Reserve. So when we get this all set up, or we get our election through and you have this ex parte militant in place, would the first order of business be to expose all the evil that they've done and really that, yeah, basically, because otherwise they're going to keep fraudulently trying to convince people that what they have been doing is correct and we're the ones that are fraudulent.
Well, you know they're going to do that, but from what Anna has been saying, you know, what she's told me or whatever, is that the military now is going after the municipal courts, you know, the corporations and the territorial ones, and they're shutting them down. So they're saying this is supposed to, what she was saying is supposed to come out in the media anyway here soon. And when it does come out in the media, she's saying that that's the reason why we got to get our LRO fine-tuned and ready and get our recording secretaries trained, which we are doing. Because when that hits the media, we're going to get swamped, especially when they know there's money involved and they're going to be able to get the money back and all this other stuff from them. We're going to get slammed, and we got to be ready. So that's why we got to go through this process, you know, to make sure that we have our courts ready and our people in line and the people elected for certain positions so that we could stand up and run the government, you know, if it's handed to us today, right?
Well, I just want to add another point of clarification. So, say so we get the government all set up the way it ought to be, but then we don't have ASNs that are truly educated to be real Americans, then we're just basically going to have a bunch of ASNs with a lot of money that are ignorant. And so then we're still ripe for being taken back over because we really don't know where our identity is, like Luis was talking about.
Right, and that's where we will need to step up and start educating. That's why when they come to us to do their paperwork, and that's the other thing that we're working on and I need help on, is our welcome letter, our orientation letter for these new people to explain who we are, what we're doing, what they need to do, how they can help in their government, and so that we don't get taken over again. We have to have our own kind of media and our own documents explain what it is before we record them. Right? And that's another step of coming back on the land, is just because you come, you do the paperwork, you still got to understand why you're doing those paperwork. What it is that you can do to help your government. You know, what is the government that is, you know, in place? What are we doing? Right? Who do we talk to? What meetings do they go to? Right? Those are what those orientation and the welcome letters are supposed to explain. And we're starting to work on those right now, too. Jessica was talking about that a little bit at the beginning. She's helping on a lot of those documents, too, which is perfect, right? But we need to get all those documents done, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Seems to me there needs to be like a real educational curriculum involved with this whole process as soon as possible so we can really truly be educated American nationals.
Right, and that's what our General Assembly is to educate the people. And I, you know, I've been trying to educate all of you, but again, when we get new people, I'll be trying to educate them. You know, just because we stand up, the coordinator doesn't physically just go away. They just go in the background, okay? Because they're still, you're still a federation. You know, the coordinator is still working with the federation. Your chairman is the ones that will take over what the coordinator really is doing and is the spokesperson for your state and your counties, right? So you'll have a chairman in your counties. You'll have one in your state. Those are the ones that will be talking to the de facto and everybody else along with the government. The coordinator will still be helping getting stuff done, you know, helping the chairman and all the people getting the information they do and get this out there in the world, right? So we're not going to, you know, the coordinator's not just going to go away. We're just going to change jobs on what we're doing. But we got to get this out in the media, and we have to, as we're signing up people, make them understand who we are and what happened to us and what it is that they need to do to keep this government and not let them take it over again, right?
Correct.
Rocky?
Go ahead.
Rocky, I just wanted to ask if this is still true. I remember when I was working with Craig in the beginning, and he had me, he was explaining to me this in detail, and he had me to make sure anybody who becomes an ASN, you are supposed to unregister from voting. Is that correct? Because people need to understand that you're not going to be an ASN, have all this money, but then, oh, I'm going to go vote for, you know, I'm somebody in the backdoor government. You are supposed to unregister from voting. Is that still true?
That is still true. That's part of our orientation stuff, is to explain to them they're not part of that government anymore. They're pulling themselves out of that, you know, that corporation, right? So you have to let them know that you're not part of that, which is one of them is you're not voting in their elections anymore, right? You're only voting in our elections. See, most of the people don't even know we're having elections. Even though we put it out in the public and stuff, they don't understand what it is. But we have to get that out to all the people, right? Any more, Dell? Is that?
Oh, thank you, Rocky. I just wanted to verify that, because that's something they really need to, people need to understand, that you're not going to, you can't be half, you know, one foot in one pot and one in the other, you know, so.
Right. If you want to be a dual citizen, you can. You can do that. You just can't help in this government. And we will explain that too, right? Our government, you can't be a dual citizen. You're either for us or not. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You're either an American, an ASN, and you're not, you know, of another country or another corporation or whatever. You can't, you know, I mean, you can be a dual citizen, you just can't help build the one that we're doing now.
Thank you, Roger. How are you?
You're welcome. Anybody else?
Yeah, Rocky, I just wanted to interject and then clarify that dual citizenship. The dual citizenship only applies to the natives. They can be dual citizenship and also serve.
That is true. Yeah, that's one of the things I'm working on with Anna right now, too, because there's a big discussion on the natives. Indigenous people here, and who is really indigenous and whatever, and the people that are indigenous that are not actually working in any other government, I mean, they're in their own indigenous government, which that's different, but they can be a dual citizen and actually help in this one. So
they could be an Apache or a Navajo or a Tonto Odom Indian, and then they can be both?
Yes.
ASN and? And
yes.
They're okay.
Because they're still native to this land, just like we are. When we do our paperwork and we come in ASN, we are considered natives to this land, right? It's the same as them, but they have their own little government, you know, like thing or county or whatever you want to call it, you know, their own little organization. that organization has nothing to do with fighting us and what we're doing, because what we're doing is the same thing they want too, right? So it's different than working for the corporation, right, and working for us. You can't work for another corporation or something other that's trying to undermine us, you know what I'm saying? And be in our, you can't be that kind of a dual citizen, if that's explained right. It's hard to explain it exactly. Did we understand that? Okay. Yeah, because we have several people that are indigenous. Vitu, Herdada, Fiana, Ray. We have several people that are indigenous people that are in the assembly, and we welcome their help. And again, they're no different than the rest of us. They've done their paperwork. They pulled themselves back on the land too. But they still can be indigenous and help with their whatever. You know, like you said, if it's Navajo or whatever indigenous part that they're in, you know what I'm saying?
So you could still be Amish or Mennonite or a Quaker and be an ASN and not have to give up being an Amish or a Mennonite or a Quaker?
No, it's exactly right. You don't have to give up, because those are not governments, or really, they're just types of people. I mean, they do have their own, I don't know how to say it, it's not really a government, but they have their own little communities, right? You know, it's just like if a bunch of people from another country, whatever, come over here and become ASNs here, and then they, you know, it could be like Amish, right? Amish have their own little cities, their own little whatever. But they still could be ASNs, nationals, on the land, right? Because they don't really have a government. They have a, you know, like a city or a, I don't know how you explain it. They have their own little group of people, right?
Well, that's a good example. One of those groups, or if not all of them, because they definitely have conflicts with the de facto. So they don't agree with or believe in vaccinations, for example. So then when the de facto tries to make them do that, then they fight back and so on and so forth. So it's probably a good example for all of us in different ways that we have many, many disagreements with the de facto that need to be addressed.
Right. I mean, that's exactly what I'm saying. Amish is a good example, because they are really ASNs. They're not part of that government at all. They don't vote in their deals. They don't do anything in their stuff, right? Because they disagree with those corporations and that government. It's not their government, right? What we're doing is what they're doing. Same thing, right?
Right.
So could they be involved in what we're doing? Yeah, because they can still have their own little counties or towns or whatever and be part of the whole thing, right? Because I can almost guarantee every one of us, we don't agree with the vaccinations and all the other stuff they do either, you know. And I don't think we're going to make laws to say that we have to do that, right?
Right.
So, I mean, we're no different than they are. They just stood up before we did, you know. And stood up again.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, I personally don't have any issues with any of those, you know, any kind of indigenous people or, you know, any of that kind of stuff. I mean, in my family, I think we have Cherokee in my family. I mean, I'm not indigenous because I don't have enough of it. My son is, because my wife at the time was 75%, I think, Cherokee. Her dad was 100. So I don't know how the lineage, how it works on that. But again, I mean, there's a lot of us that are indigenous in some way. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And that's one of the things in the last coordinator call that Anna talked about, was who is really indigenous? Because if you were born here, you're really indigenous too, right? You're of this land. You're here. You didn't come from anywhere else. Maybe your ancestors did, but you're no different than any of these, you know, like the Navajos or any of the other ones. They were born here too, right? And they can make that claim. So the same as we can. That's the claim we made with our 928s. Any more? Okay. I don't see Paul on here. Again, you know, he's working on the court website, whatever. It's going along pretty good. Again, we got to get all these pieces together because this is how we're going to run our government, is through these websites. Along with, I'm going to switch gears right now over into the LRO. We've been working really hard, the people in the LRO, you know, the recording secretaries, all been working really hard together to get all of the pieces of the LRO done. Even though it's up and running, there were still some pieces that we needed to get cleared up and fixed. So I know, see, Dakota's on here, P2's on here. I don't see tomorrow. But these are our recording secretaries. That's why if you send anything to recording dot secretary at the Nevada Union State Gov.land, every one of these people get it. All of them have been working hard on to make sure that we're getting people recorded and the system is working at 100%. Okay. I did talk to Anna Thursday, or actually it was Thursday night. I was going through a texting thing about hosting, if Nevada would want to host for other states, because I've had a lot of requests to do that. And again, it still would be up to all of you if you want to allow other people into our system. And again, the way I created the system, there's three types of coordinator or recording secretaries. There's an international recording secretary, which is somebody that can record in any state. There is a state recording secretary, which can only record in their state. And then there's a county recording secretary, which can only record in their county. And based on the login of the official is what it allows them to do, okay, and what they can see. So even if we did give access or host other states' data, we could still make them like their own, like a state recording secretary, and they would only be able to see their state, not our state stuff, right? I've been pushing the fact, and I've talked to Anna about this, as to help the other states get their own LRO up and running. I would give them the software. They would have to buy hardware, and I would help them actually get it up and running. I prefer doing that than to let other people into our system. And
yep.
I need your guys' opinion on that, too. I mean, this is my opinion. I want your opinion, too.
I agree with that.
Yep.
Our own, yep. For sure.
Yeah,
that's really awesome if you would do that. And that's
Nevada separate.
You know, that's benefit because that will encourage the other states too to, like, you know, start maybe getting more active. So that's like really awesome to do it. I praise God you have those skills. Thank you.
Thank you, Dale. Yeah, I've had Arizona, I've had Louisiana, Utah. Those are a few right off the top of my head that is asked. I am working with Louisiana for them to get their own hardware, and I would help them get the software on that hardware and get them up and running on their own. I'd prefer, and you guys just all confirmed to me that you agree that we really don't want other states into our system. So I prefer doing that, and, you know, like I wrote the software, whatever, but again, it still belongs to the state, or, you know, to the Nevada, what I wrote, because I do live here and I am actually volunteered to help the state, right? So the software really does belong to the state. And if everybody doesn't have a problem with us sharing our work, then we will share it, right? And what do you guys think about that, is sharing the software that I've created?
I mean, you could share it, Rocky, if as long as you keep it secure where you're comfortable with it, you know, sharing your information. But sharing our information, I think we all agree we want to keep that in our own boundaries, under our own control. But of course, I mean, you've done a really awesome thing, and we want to help the other ASNs in other states. So it's up to you. It's you know, you're the one that's in control, brother. But I think we all agree keeping our autonomous system, our own autonomous system. You know, if you're good with that, I yield.
This is up to you guys. It's the software itself, whatever I give them, is not going to give them any insight into getting into ours. I mean, they'll still be locked into their own stuff. But again, it's the software really actually belongs to Nevada. That's who I wrote it for. And again, it's the General Assembly that we're doing right now that decides, you know, if we're going to allow that or not. You know what I'm saying? If you guys are okay with me sharing the software with them, then I'll do that. If not, I can just tell them no. You know what I'm saying?
All right. I agree with what Keith is saying, Rocky. It's entirely up to you. It's your work, but our keeping our autonomous system here, because that's private, that's confidential information for the people in Nevada alone. But your work, I'm fine with it. Thank you, I yield.
Thank you, Peter. To me, personally, I don't mind helping anybody. But again, like I said, even though it is my work and I wrote it, I'm doing it under the umbrella of Nevada, okay? So it does really belong to Nevada, what I've done. You know, I'm just a volunteer, just like all you guys are. And all your work is volunteer, too. And again, even if you wanted to share some of your work and some of your stuff you did, documents, whatever, really the Assembly needs to agree to sharing that information, right? That's all I'm saying. You guys are okay with sharing the software, we can do that, but I agree with you too that our system needs to be secured and locked down for Nevada only. That's the way I think of it. But again, it's still up to you guys. Everybody on the call.
I agree with that, Rocky, what you just said.
Okay. Everybody else agree with that?
Yes.
Yep.
I agree.
Okay. So that's the way we will keep it. We'll not host anything so that people could be into our data or not. We just don't go that way. Trying to think of the next. I think that's pretty much. I have to go back to my email now. I did just get an email from Louise saying my meeting on Tuesday with her to start the How to Build a County Assembly is starting on Tuesday. Which is great. You know, it's Nevada has been such an inspiration to a lot of the other states and whatever. And even within the state, there's a lot of people jealous. I would say jealous. That's maybe not the right word to use, or threatened maybe, by how strong we are here in Nevada, and you know, especially Clark County, and the work that we've all done together, and how we've moved things, you know, forward. And I just don't understand it because nobody should be actually threatened by what we do. They should actually embrace it and get on board and help. You know what I'm saying? We're all here, especially in Nevada, to work together and to be strong together. And we do that by coming together and working together. Yeah, I don't have any more for this meeting. The next meeting will be an in-person meeting on the 30th at the library. And again, we'll take election votes then. We'll also take them online. I will get an email out Friday night and also Saturday morning with the ballots on it so everybody can do their ballots and get them in. You're going to email them to elections@thenevadaunionstategov.land, and the election committee will then count those up and verify the people. Now, if you haven't created your account on the Nevada LRO, I would encourage you to do it so that we can get all your documents on there too. We just finished up a portion of that program to where the recording secretary can actually create your account, put in all your stuff, do your, you know, upload your paperwork and all that, and then they are able to email you an activation code to activate your account, and you can then change your username and your password at that time once they do it all for you. So that was the next step I needed to get done, because I started off where the people had to create their accounts, and then the recording secretary could then come in and finish it up, right? I had some confusion for some people that think that once they created their account, they're going to be able to go in and edit all their stuff and, you know, put up their paperwork and not, and no, that's not going to happen. That is the recording secretary's position to do that. And the reason why is we got to make sure that the paperwork that goes up there are lawfully done right, and yep, it is up there. Now, the portions that I did add to the system this week was, and I'm going to add it to the user accounts to where any incident reports or any notices that you send out, that you will be able to upload your own papers on those only. So, like if you like this notice that we're sending out to the Rubio and all that, when you get done with it and you have your paperwork, whatever, you'll be able to go to your account and go under notices and then upload your own notice. Okay, that'll be the next phase coming up this next week that I'll get done to where the actual owner of the account can upload their notices and their incident reports. Again, you know, I'm asking all the people, is that how you guys want it or how it should be? Nobody answered on that one? That you guys want to be able to upload your own notices and your own incident reports. So you don't care if you can or not?
Rocky, I don't think they're asking us to see if we are allowed to enter our own individual documents into our LRO, Rocky? Is that what you're...
That is what I'm saying, but only incident reports and only notices. Not your 928s, not your baby deeds or marriage certificates, but only, you know, notices that you would send out. So like say if you went to court for a traffic ticket, right?
I got you.
And you did all that paper and you sent them notices and all that, right? Would you want to yourself, without getting a recording secretary involved, to upload those into your notices on your account?
I think that's a good idea.
If it's beneficial for... that's kind of tough right there. I mean, if you have a different... site on the website that we can actually upload those notices to separate from our 928.
No, it's separate on there.
Oh, okay. And then I don't mind uploading if it's separate.
Let me do something real quick for you so you can see what I'm talking about. It's easier if you see it than me just talking about it.
Yep.
Okay, I'm going to share my screen again so you can see. Okay, you see my screen? This is the LRL. What I'm going to do is go into the official site because it's down in there so you can see it. And I'll log in. I'm going to search for a person. I'll search for me. I'm going to pull up my name. So if you went in and logged in your account, you see where it says documents? The status one here, this is your 928s. Only the recording secretary can upload files here. This one here that says notices, this one would be the only place that you'd be able to upload a document. And what would happen is if you look at the bottom where it says add a line here, if I click on that, you see how it added this line here? I can type something in here, put a date on it when you did it, and then I can upload those files. I'm saying that part, the person that owns the account would be able to do that and add their own notices to the notices tab.
That looks great.
Thank you.
And then the other one is the incident report, like here. If you, you know, like if you encountered somebody and you filled out an incident report, again, you can come in here, type in whatever the incident was, upload that file. If you don't want it on here anymore, you can hit delete and delete it, and we'll remove from the incident report. But this notice tab and this incident report tab is to allow you as individuals to upload your own paperwork.
Awesome.
Thank you, Rock.
Is that what you guys want to do or not do? Or be able to do?
Yeah, I think that's a good option. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, because right...
Anybody know, like, when we upload it, do we have to let somebody know, like, hey, it's there?
Nope.
It's just for us, right?
It's because this is public, so, like, if it's on your account, okay, so, like, if I go to, see, I'll do the member login. If you go to documents here, you see where it says notices? It shows my notices. That, if they go to the E-Verify and they go there, they would see these notices, right? Mm-hmm. The same thing, they would see your incident reports, right?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. Okay, thanks for clarifying that.
Everything's public.
It's public, yes. So let's see if I go to, hang on here, let's go to the E-Verify. You guys are getting a rundown here on the system. So this is E-Verify. This is what the cops will see, right? And if I go to my records, and I go to my documents, I go to my notices, they can see it. So that's one of the other things that we need. You guys need to go through all these tabs and let us know, as a General Assembly, what you want the public to see or not see. You know, if I go to statuses, this is your status stuff. But if I go to member, and I go to my contacts, you'll notice that you can't see my address, you can't see my email. You know, if I had a phone number, you wouldn't be able to see it either. There's certain things in here that will be encrypted like this to where it's not in the public. I need input from all you guys, what you want to be public or not public, right? And again, you know, like if you could go in like here, see, you can't add anything in here because it's, you know, it's just for the cops to verify something. But if I go to my account, which was this one, right? If I click on here, right now, see, it's not working. I haven't finished it yet. But you'd be able to click on this plus sign and then add your own incident reports. Same thing with notices. But you would have to log in as you, and only you can do it, or a recording secretary, right?
So will that require a separate password, login, info, et cetera?
Yeah.
It's when you log in, you know, when I clicked on my member page, right? When I clicked on, hang on here, this one here, the member login, you remember it made me log in. Well, if you can't log in, whoever's account that you're logging into is, and you can log in, then you can do it. But you have to log in. It's a secured login. But once you can, then you can do it, right? So anyway, I want you guys to actually go to the verified member credentials and the other ones, and let us know, the recording secretaries, what you prefer to be public or not public, what information that you want on there or not. I'm pretty sure I go to this one here, which is the Verify. Right now, I don't have the baby deeds on here, and I don't have the marriage certificate on here. Do you want them on there that the public can see them or not? Because right now, they're hidden. The other thing that's hidden too, and you actually don't even see it on here anywhere, is your birth certificate. We do upload your birth certificate, but there's nowhere on here on the E-Verifier or anywhere else that you could see it, right? Because it's a private document, and nobody should be able to get to it. So we have documents like that too, and I need input from all you guys to I need input from all you guys on what you think should be out there or not, right? So go look around, go dig around, and log into your account, see what's there. You know, I jumped through a bunch of stuff right now. Everything's working. We've been doing some heavy testing in the last couple of weeks. And, it's getting there. But we got to be ready, because when this goes public, this system's going to get hit. Our recording secretaries are going to be busy. Anyway, that's all I have to say about that. I'm going to stop sharing that.
So when you add something, if a person chooses to add an incident report and or a notice, do you have the option to make it confidential so it's blind where the public can't see it, or you can unblind it so they can see it?
Currently, right now, if you put it there, it's just out there. Now, that's a question. Is that what you guys want? Do you want to be able to blind it or not?
Yeah, I do, personally.
Okay.
I may want to have it in there for secure storage purposes, but I don't necessarily want the general public to be able to access that.
Okay.
Ops or whoever. Yep.
Yeah, send an email to the recording secretary with that. Anything like you guys come up with like that, get it to us so that, like I said, this system's your guys'. It's what you want and what you want to be able to do with it, right? We can do whatever it is you want. Again, it's your system. You guys gonna need to tell us what you want. Does everybody agree with what Brian just said? Is
yes.
To be able to.
Yeah.
I believe that's your prerogative.
Yes.
Okay. So I'll start to add that where you can make it private or not private, where it'll be out on the public or not, or only just you can see it and the recording secretary. Yeah, it's the recording secretaries can see everything because they have the whole system, but again, they're not going to share your stuff with other people. You know what I mean?
Right.
But anyway, that's all I had for tonight. I'm going to try to do the in-person meeting. I'm going to try to do it online too, if I can. I know it's going to be hard because of the stuff we're going to be talking about, but we're going to try that, especially because of the election part of it. I want to do that online. So we'll probably do both, and I'll just try to work it out. Is that okay? Is that what we want to do?
That would be cool.
Okay.
Rocky, have you heard any more about that application from GFG?
What application?
Fisher had sent me a letter about there's going to be an application that we're going to be using.
I haven't heard of it, so I don't know.
Oh, it was from Fisher, where did you get all that information from?
Okay. That, Rocky, you explained this in the meeting last Saturday, I believe, that we're waiting for the AFD-1. That's the app that she's referring to.
Oh, I thought she said an application, like you had to fill out a form.
It's an app. It's an app.
I'm sorry.
No, that app will be, when you do your Prosperity card, it's on your system, that's going to be tied to the FD1, and that's what you're talking about. There will be an app for like your phone, and you know, either for Apple or Android, that will be dealing with the FD1s. That app, I don't know when it's coming out, but it will come out.
They said soon.
Yeah, they're saying everything's going to happen within 90 days or so. I don't know if it will, but I mean, we've heard a lot of this before. I'm hoping it does, you know.
Well, let me ask you, Rocky, do you think that we're going to have, I was reading, it said something about it's going to have to go through vendors first. Do you think we're going to have to do all that here in the United States also?
No, even in Africa right now, it's not everything goes through the vendors. The people can actually go down to like Home Depot and buy something.
Oh, okay.
That's the prosperity card that's on your system now, that QR code. As long as they accept that QR code, you'd be able to buy it wherever.
Oh.
And that's why it's tied to the FD1s, and it'll be done on your app that you're talking about.
Okay, and they're saying within 90 days?
That's what I've been hearing. I don't know if that's true or not. Yeah. You know, I'm getting a lot of these dates and all these things mixed up too, so I wouldn't, you know, like count me on it or not. These are some of the things I've been hearing.
Okay.
You know, because what Anna said is that they're doing Africa now. This week, they're starting to do the other European countries and get them going. And after they get those going, then it's coming here. We'll be third, is what I was told. Okay. And they're saying that that all should happen within 90 days. I don't know if it will or not. But that's what I heard.
We've heard that.
Okay.
So I'm just trying to get this straight because I've had a couple of people that want to sign up, but you know how that goes. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to ask the question. So when we get, okay, I have the card, but it doesn't have a QR code. So all that will be coming with the app, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But if you look at the card on your account, there is a QR code in the middle of that card.
Okay.
But again, how do you get that card to whatever? There's supposed to be an app that you'll be able to pull it up with the QR code and be able to scan it.
Okay.
You know, there is a QR code in the middle in the middle of that card on the the app that we have now.
Right, on the online app, right. The one you use through the browser. But there's supposed to be an actual phone app that's coming out, too. You know, it's like when you do Apple Pay or any of those. You'll be able to do the same kind of thing.
Well, I don't know how to Apple Pay either, so.
Well, I don't either. But I'm just saying, if you understand the concept of Apple Pay or the Android Pay thing, whatever, there's going to be an app for the FDs, the same thing, that actually does the conversion for you, you know, from AFD 1 to USD.
Okay.
Right?
Okay. And so that's basically going to be like a prepaid card.
Yes. And that's why they said when that first comes out, you won't like be able to buy a house with it because it's only for like buying things, you know, paying your rent, you know, paying your water bill, electric bill, that kind of stuff. You can use it all for that.
Well, that would just be peachy keen because anything will help.
Well, that would help a lot of people because if you can just get rid of your regular bills, you would save a lot of money. You know what I'm saying?
Like your credit cards and all that, yeah.
You would be able to pay all those, your credit cards, whatever. So that would be a way to, even if you use your credit cards in the stores and then you could pay the credit card on it, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a way to get the money, right? So we'll see how it goes and where it goes, you know.
It's a wonderful thought, sure.
Rocky, is that library at the southeast corner of Windmill and Eastern?
Yes.
Okay.
It's just past this store.
The picture that you sent, though, Rocky, is the one that we went to the meeting before last, or the library that Remember we had that lady that was trying to serve you the those papers? That's the
yes.
picture that you showed me, I'm pretty sure. That's
that is the same one.
Okay. That's I don't think that's on Eastern and Windmill.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not. That's on Las Vegas Boulevard near Shelbourne.
Oh, that's what it is. It's Las Vegas Boulevard, and it's close to Windmill. It's actually the street. Yeah, you're right.
Shelbourne is the street that runs on the north side of that particular library, just so you know.
Yeah, and it's a nice location.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Las Vegas Boulevard, and close to Windmill.
Okay, I'm hereby to move the motion to adjourn the meeting.
Anybody second it?
I like to move the motion. I like that for you too. You move the motion, girl.
Well, that's what you're supposed to. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Is we're supposed to use the word move.
Yeah, I like the way she said that. That's all. She's got style. She's got class.
Everybody's
got the style.
Everybody that agrees, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Good night, everybody.
You disagree, say no. Okay, we'll see you all. Thank you all for coming.
Thanks, Robbie.
Thanks,